Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
It was a season that saw seeds planted by a legend bloom on the biggest stage possible.
I still think of 2004 as part of the healing from 2001.
This has got to be the greatest day of my life.
A season that brought out the best.
We're right in the middle of this championship, so we'll just see what happens at Homestead.
And the worst.
And now they're tackling one another and a fight is on in the pit area.
While crowning a champion in the most suspenseful way.
We dodged a huge, huge, devastating proposition that would have taken us out of this championship.
A racing season that was one of the most impactful in the sport's history.
There's so much going on behind the scenes in 04, but the headlines that made the sport continue, I think will be 25 years from now when we're celebrating the 100th, somebody will look at a yardstick of our history and that'll 2004 is going to be on there.
Motor Racing Network welcomes you to NASCAR Live Presents 2004, Chasing History. Hello, everybody. I'm Mike Bagley, and welcome to Episode 10, the final installment of NASCAR Live Presents 2004, Chasing History. In Episode 9, we covered the aftermath of the tragic Hendrick plane crash at Martinsville and the weeks that followed, where Hendrick's very own Jimmy Johnson marched toward championship contention. In this final episode, we'll cover the final race of the 2004 season and reflect upon a year that changed the sport forever. Following Jimmy Johnson's Southern 500 win at Darlington, there appeared to be little standing in the way of the 48 team in the Nextel Cup Series championship. In a five-week span, Johnson, Chad Canales, and the crew had reeled off wins at Charlotte, Martinsville, Atlanta, and Darlington. The winning streak, of course, occurred during an emotional time for Johnson and the entire Hendrick Motorsports family, as everyone was still dealing with the devastation of the plane crash at Martinsville. For Jimmy Johnson, a strong run of form heading into Martinsville was punctuated by a determination to carry on the legacy of those lost in the plane crash.
Just the amount of pain that we were all dealing with and trying to get to the track, wondering if we were even going to the racetrack after Martinsville. There was a question, what is Rick going to do? What does Rick Lynn want to do? And I'll never forget I think it was the Monday after the race, we were all at Hendrick Motorsports, and they showed up, and Rick somehow found the strength to say, look, you know, we're hurting, but we're going racing. We're going to Atlanta this weekend, and let's go race in their honor. And, you know, we knew our marching orders at that point, but, you know, we win Martinsville, we win Atlanta. You know, big shift in our optimism for the championship. And it was such a shift that myself and I think all of the 48 team and certainly a lot of Hendrick Motorsports felt it was going to happen. Like we were carrying on the honor of the plane crash.
In Jimmy's mind, winning a championship in the memory of those 10 individuals was beginning to feel like destiny as he and the rest of the Hendrick family shifted their focus to one final Sunday at Homestead Miami Speedway. Kurt Busch entered the final weekend with an 18-point lead in the Nextel chase for the championship standings over Johnson. Kurt, who had tested at the majority of the tracks involved in the chase, saw one final chance ahead of Sunday to position himself for his first Cup Series championship, winning the pole.
I wanted to go for pole because we tested there, and I said, we're going into Q-Trim at the end of this test, and we're going to try to get pole when we come back here, set the tone, and get that first pit box, have all the things, you know, all the chips would be stacked in our favor.
And Kurt was successful in that goal, beating out fellow Roush teammate Greg Biffle by 0.012 seconds to earn the top spot in the season finale Ford 400. Another significant development from qualifying was Jimmy Johnson having to take a provisional, which placed him at the tail of the field in the 39th starting position. Busch's chief contender would have to make up significant ground in order to claim the title. The deciding race of the 2004 Nextel Cup Series season featured five drivers who were still in play for the championship: Busch, Johnson, Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and series veteran Mark Martin. Those five chasers were separated by 82 points as pre-race festivities began in South Florida.
Well, a lot of times we come into these races and you got to finish X or better, but in this scenario, there is one that Kurt Busch can finish second and not win the championship. A lot of pressure, but may make it a little bit easier. You just guys have to go out there and race. How is the car?
The car is very good, and the crew is poised. We're all focused, and this is the final day. It's been a lot of fun to come this far and to be in this position, and now we've got to go and race our car for 267 laps, and that's all it comes down to is just racing the best we can and stay away from the mistakes.
Going for a fifth championship at a racetrack where he finished fifth 1 year ago. It's been a good season for you, Jeff. What does it take to cap it off with a win and a title here this afternoon?
Just got to finish ahead of those other two guys that we're battling with, and who knows what that's going to take, but here lately it's certainly been taking a win. I think we've got the car and the team to do it, and this racetrack, since they changed it, has certainly been better for us than the old configuration. Got a great starting position. We're just going to work hard until that checker flag waves and see where it all, how it all unfolds.
Any shot is better than no shot at all, Mark, and you're nodding your head. You're starting 11th today. Garage talking this morning and all weekend long, you're the guy to beat. You guys have been fast in practice. You've been fast in your test. How good is your car today?
We were better in the test than we practiced yesterday. But this car, I've raced it twice, and it's had a history of racing better than it practices. So that's a comfort. I didn't see anybody that was really blowing us away out there other than Biffle, and we don't know that he can maintain that kind of pace over the long haul. Our car has a history of being real good on the long runs. And uncharacteristically, it seems pretty quick on the short runs today, you know, yesterday in practice. So we're going to give it our best shot. I'm so proud of this team and the opportunity I had. And I'll remember 2004 forever for being a very, very, gratifying season.
Well, he's definitely the fan favorite. Rolls off 16th today. Joe Moore just talking about it's been a bit of a roller coaster season. Maybe a long shot for the championship, but it makes it easy to just go out there and race hard today. Chances of going to victory lane.
Well, you know, the chances of going to victory lane, they've been better chances throughout the year. But the car's a little bit off, but we'll work on it. The track's, it's nice and cool today. The track should have a little bit more grip. This whole year's been awesome for my team. We've had a great time up and down. The downs have been even fun sometimes, but it's just been an honor, racing for this championship, racing the caliber of drivers we have in the series, some of the characters and personalities, just hard to beat.
Yeah, he's starting 39th, Joe. That's the bad news. The good news is four of his eight season wins have come in the last five races. You got to come from 39th today, Jimmy. What's it going to take to come from the tail, win this thing, and bring home a championship to Hendrick Motorsport?
Well, there's a lot of things that could work out. I mean, it's hard to predict what's going to happen in the race. Everybody I'm racing for the championship starting up front, and so they're going to have an easy start to the race. But pitch strategy, cautions, it may mix it all up, and those guys may have to fight back from some track position. So you just don't know. But this Lowe's car has been driving great. We had a problem with qualifying. We found out what that was with the shock and got it corrected. So the car is great. Unfortunately, it was bad when it counted on Friday. But we'll be in good shape. I'm just going to drive smart and clean, get to the front, and get in the middle of this race up there.
One wrinkle that put even more emphasis on the chase's conclusion was that the leader of the first lap would earn 5 points, a margin that could prove to be the deciding factor as the field of 43 approached the green flag in Homestead.
One of the most exciting championships about to be settled here at Homestead Miami Speedway this afternoon. Green flag goes in the air. Head off to turn number one. Kurt Busch immediately tries to get out there, make sure he can lead that first lap as he goes over to turn two.
That's the first order of business. Get that 5 point bonus for leading a lap, and so far so good. He takes the lead. Trent Biffle looking to fall back in line. We got two cars around already in turn number one. Mike Bliss grass, and also Hermie Sadler has become involved. Two cars tangling at the very tail end of the field on the opening lap.
Hermie Sadler's lap one crash almost proved to be disastrous for Jimmy Johnson as he was just able to survive the wreck as Sadler turned sideways while Mike Bliss was spun around. The start of the Ford 400 foreshadowed what was ahead of all those in attendance on that afternoon. On lap 93, championship leader Kurt Busch was about to come to pit road. Busch radioed to his crew that he had a flat right front tire. As Busch came out of the access road off of turn four that leads onto the pit lane, he lost that tire.
Caution is on the speedway, and it is a problem for Kurt Busch, the Nextel Cup points leader, starting the race today. Let's back go over to turn two and get an update there.
Barney, a near disaster and still a potential disaster for Kurt Busch. He got about midway between turns one and two, and the car just simply would not turn. He did an amazing job to keep the car off the wall, ran literally 2 inches from the concrete all the way around through turns one and two, kept it off the wall, immediately headed for pit road.
And Danielle, he had a problem even when he came on pit road.
Yeah, that disaster almost became a big-time disaster as he was trying to come down pit road. The casing on that right front came off, bounced into the back on the speedway. Actually, when Dale Earnhardt Jr. was coming by, so Dale Earnhardt Jr. had to do some evasive. The tire actually came off, bounced back onto the track in front of Dale Earnhardt Jr. He had to do a little bit of evasive driving as well, but Kurt Busch has now made a pit stop, I believe, in front of Winston.
Well, they changed right side tires only. The entire wheel came off. The middle section of the wheel was broken loose, so the hub was still attached to the, or the tire was still attached to the wheel, but it completely came loose, so they brought it down, just changed right side tires, and sent him back onto the racetrack.
As the wheel came off, Busch almost hit the yellow barrels at the entrance of pit road, which could have ended in a much different result. Instead, the caution came out as the wheel rolled down the entire front stretch of pit road. Kurt Busch takes us inside that moment.
I get this weird vibration, and we hadn't even pitted yet. I'm like, wait a minute, we don't have a loose wheel because we haven't pitted yet. It's been on there since the beginning of the race. What the heck is this? And then those are the emotions of, Kurt, you're convincing yourself you're not ready for this moment. And so you start talking to yourself. Literally, I guarantee every driver would say they have conversations with themselves in the car about handling or pit strategy. And I'm like, you're not ready for this moment. I'm like, no, I am. And so I was like, I got to pit. Like, this vibration keeps getting worse. Let's take our lumps now in the beginning of the race and work our way back to the lead lap and then figure it out from there. And that wheel broke, went out on the racetrack right as I was turning onto pit road. Somehow I missed the barrels. I missed the end of the barrels, and it was because somebody took my left foot off of the brake pedal. Because, like, when you're in snow and you got the brakes on, you're sliding straight, you lift off the brakes and try to let the front rotate. I was so nervous, and I didn't know what I did, but somehow I missed the end of the pit lane and those barrels. Tire goes out on the track to create the yellow, and then we pit, and we're so nervous we don't even know what's going on. And we only put two tires on because we don't want to lose a lap. But we didn't know the yellow was coming out. So we ended up coming back to pit and put four tires on and started last and just reset the day.
Unfortunately for Kurt, it wasn't self-doubt that was leading him to feel a vibration in the car. Indeed, it was a loose wheel. Former NASCAR president Mike Helton was in the tower looking down at the events as they unfolded.
That was a perfect storm in his favor, where the tire came off, which was the end of pit road. He was already on pit road before the caution came out, knowing that he had a right front that was coming up or coming off, and pitted, got it fixed, didn't do any damage underneath, went back out. But I remember clearly that when I looked down and saw it, I said, well, that takes him out. And then a lap later, when we went back to green and he was obviously still up to speed, I realized, well, he just had the best day of his life.
Winston Kelly's vantage point was on pit road as Busch's tire fell off.
So I'm looking down pit road, and until I saw a replay, I didn't realize how close it was because, you know, it's a long pit road. I'm all the way down toward turn number one. That happens all the way in turn number four, and you see him dart in. And at first, you don't realize the tire's off. You know, he's coming out, and then the car is listing to the right front. And then you start seeing his tire roll down pit road. And we never had a caution. You know, if you go back and look, and I went back to see exactly what happened on the report. It's like, I can't believe we didn't have a caution. So the tire must have rolled up against the wall or maybe all the way down to turn number one and out of the way. Because when there is not a caution for the 97 car in that part of the race. But going back to what happened, you know, and you see him limping down pit road, and then, but when you watch the replay, I mean, it was inches and his day is done. I mean, he T-bones that wall, or if it happened, what, 20 feet later, because you would have been in turn three and four, I believe, that, you know, 20 feet later,
then he can't make the turn, so he's, you know, stuck or limping all the way around.
Winston also had a clear view of Busch's crew as their championship hopes were hanging by a thread. According to Winston, Busch's crew chief Jimmy Fenning appeared to be unfazed by the setback.
Jimmy Fenning is one that I think you really got to check his pulse to make sure it's working, which is one of the things that made him a good crew chief. He never got animated. I don't ever remember him getting overly animated no matter what happened. He was just kind of calm and, you know, here's what we're going to do. Now, Kurt was different, but Kurt wasn't even, you know, we didn't have radios that we were listening to him then, but it was just kind of business as usual for them to change the tire. And, you know, it wasn't even as dramatic when you think about all the stuff that happened with Tony Stewart in 2011, you know, when he had to go to the back several times and the different things he had going on when he and Carl were racing for the championship. You know, it wasn't the same feel.
Busch was fortunate not to experience any more damage to his car and was also fortunate to find himself restarting 28th and on the lead lap. But how is that possible? Well, it was Kurt's teammate Greg Biffle to the rescue.
Kurt's tire comes off and they tell me about it. Caution's out, caution's out. Kurt's on pit road. Kurt's got a problem. So I slow down. And automatically, I recognize I got to keep my teammate on the lead lap. And so I'm going down the backstretch like 35, 40 miles an hour. I'm going slow, like really slow. Coming around, I can see Kurt coming off of turn four. I can still see Kurt still on pit road. And the pace car's coming out to get us. And I was able to slow us down enough that I kept Kurt on the lead lap by I don't know how much. I'd have to go back and look, but I saved Kurt from being on the lead lap.
Thanks to a major assist from his teammate, Busch was still alive at Homestead, but would have to be nearly flawless the rest of the way if he was going to wrestle the championship lead away from Jeff Gordon. At this point, Busch's focus was solely on settling back into the race.
Yeah, Fenning said, all right, all four are back on there. They're tight. We now see that the center section of the wheel came apart from the outer rim. So it was a wheel failure. It wasn't a wheel bearing or something with the hub. So it just gave me the, okay, let's just reset and work our way back up.
And work his way back up he did.
Give Kurt Busch another position as he sweeps to the inside of Brendan Gaughan. That will take another position away. Another nail in the coffin for Kurt Busch.
Here's Kurt Busch. He's got Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon directly ahead. And Busch is letting it all hang out. He's chopping down the distance between himself and Johnson. About five car lengths separate those two.
And five laps to go in the Ford 400 to determine the championship here at Homestead Miami Speedway. The lead now for Kurt Busch is 13 over Jeff Gordon. They're in turn two.
Busch has got everything he needs. Does not need another spot. Just needs to stay out of trouble.
With just over five laps remaining, Kurt Busch was in position to win the title. But with two laps to go, the caution would fly once again as race leader Ryan Newman made contact and lost the right side of his tire.
Johnson's losing ground to Jeff Gordon. See what Busch does this time. Off the end of the back straightaway, Busch is going to climb the banking, follow Jimmy Johnson's tire tracks off turn four.
Busch indeed closing in on Jimmy Johnson now for the sixth position as they come back to the start-finish line. Only three laps remaining. Ryan Newman, meanwhile, busy pulling away
trouble
from
in turn
Stewart.
One, and it's the leader. Newman is in the wall. Right front tire is down on the Altel Dodge. Ryan Newman slams the wall. Everybody takes evasive action. They dive to the inside as Newman limps off turn number two.
And caution will come out onto the racetrack at lap 264. Let's go back to turn two.
Well, just one more wrinkle, Barney, as we get down to the end of this show at Homestead. Ryan Newman went into turn number one. Tony Stewart closed in, and all of a sudden the Altel Dodge just took a right-hand set, shot up the banking, and slapped the outside retaining wall. The right front tire is down for Ryan Newman.
The inaugural Nextel Cup Series chase for the championship will be decided on a green, white, checkered flag finish. Hendrick teammates Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson would get one final chance to overcome Kurt Busch for the 2004 Series crown.
Green flag goes in the air. Tony Stewart sets sail, and talk about a mad scramble from second place on back. It is on in turn one.
Stewart is off the pace. Around the outside of him comes Greg Biffle. They're going to go three wide behind him as Stewart has finally found the speed. Biffle has the lead. Stewart second. Jimmy Johnson on the outside third.
Stewart down to the inside. Here's Jimmy Johnson up top. Jeff Gordon as well. Kurt Busch there too. Greg Biffle to the lead. Jimmy Johnson to second. Now Stewart trying to rally back down low.
They are coming down for the white flag, this time out of turn number four. Tony Stewart trying to get wound up one more time as Greg Biffle leads him back into turn number one.
Biffle down on the inside lane. Jimmy Johnson second, Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, Kurt Busch, and Brendan Gaughan. Biffle off turn two for the final time.
Greg Biffle all by himself up front. Leaders are single file, nose to tail. Kurt Busch not being pressured. Here's Biffle coming into the corner. Greg Biffle all by himself. Biffle's going to win the battle, and Busch will win the war.
Greg Biffle coming off turn four, down on the start-finish line. He's been the strongest man all day. He'll win the season-ending Ford 400. In a Ford, Jimmy Johnson crosses the line in second, Jeff Gordon third, Tony Stewart finishes in fourth, and fifth is Kurt Busch, and he is the NASCAR Nextel Cup Series champion. Let's go to his pit.
And the celebration begins. Jack Roush coming off of the pit box. Jack, you won the battle, and you won the war today. Congratulations.
Well, this is a feast or famine business, you know. We've been in a dogfight today, and it worked out okay. I wouldn't have given 5 cents for our chances going in.
Ask Jack Roush as he gets ready to go celebrate in both Victory Lane and the championship trophy.
Despite a loose tire and a late caution, the 2004 NASCAR Nextel Cup Series championship belonged to Kurt Busch. An ending that left him physically and emotionally spent.
It was nuts. I really didn't even know what planet I was on. I didn't even know what track or where I was. I just followed the 24 and the 48. And there was a late restart with Biffle and Stewart. The way that Biffle held off everybody. Even Jimmy Johnson got up to second. Jimmy never led a lap that day because Biffle was so strong. And so that kept 5 points in the bank for us. And so I just knew I needed to finish within a couple positions of him. I looked in the mirror and I was like swerving and just making stupid moves on track, just trying to scare people like I'm lost, because I was. And it was Rusty Wallace behind me. I think Brendan Gong and a few other guys are like, don't pass Kurt. He's crazy, you know, like, or he needs those positions. It was really a moment of you don't know where you are. And when the checkered flag dropped, I felt like I turned into mush. Like I gave everything I could and I cramped up and I barely remember holding up the trophy at the end.
It was a result that almost didn't happen. The tire fell off at the perfect time and the caution flag flew at the perfect time. To this day, Jeff Gordon's former crew chief Ray Emmerenham is left astonished at Busch's turnaround that afternoon.
How he missed those barrels at the end of pit road still amazes me. He comes down pit road, and you're like, he's done. Jeff Gordon's going to win this championship. I'm thinking, I hope he invites me to the party, you know, because at that point, if you look at that, Jeff should have won that championship. Jeff, Jimmy, Kurt, I think they were all battling that, right? But Jimmy Fenwick, my old buddy, veteran crew chief, calm, good leader, doesn't panic, stays calm. Gets that thing back out there, calms down Kurt Busch, which everybody knows was not an easy thing at that time when he was a kid. They go out, and he ends up winning the championship. So to me, that crew, driver, you know, that day, to have something like that happen and it not tear up the lug nuts or tear up your fender so bad you couldn't go or not crash to do it, pretty amazing deal.
Busch surviving the tire scare would win the championship by 8 points over Jimmy Johnson, ending a dominant stretch for Jimmy.
Jimmy, within 8 points, it's been a great season. Your final reactions?
It's been a great season, and congratulations to Kurt on his championship. I mean, he was solid the entire bit, and definitely disappointed. I was hopeful that we would get this championship won ourselves, but it just wasn't meant to be. We gave it everything that we had and just came up a little short.
It wasn't meant to be for the 48 team, and few could blame them for their disappointment. Jimmy won the most races that season and had entered the final race at Homestead with 4 wins in his last 5 starts. Johnson had been carrying the emotional weight of the great loss Hendricks suffered and came up 8 points shy.
And I'll never forget when we, you know, lose the championship standing there. I'm like, it was supposed to happen. Like, I had 10 angels riding with me. This was supposed to happen. We're supposed to honor these people. How did it not happen? And in that reality of it not happening.
While Jimmy and the rest of Hendrick Motorsports came to terms with he and Gordon falling just shy of the championship, Kurt Busch finally got to enjoy the moment he had been working so many years for.
He gets a big hug from his girlfriend. It wasn't that many years ago that he was on the Gong Show with Jack Roush, and now he's the 2004 Nextel Cup champion and first Nextel Cup champion. Congratulations, Kurt.
Thank you so much. It's unbelievable to be able to put such an effort into what it takes to make a championship caliber team. Many things have to fall into place. Jimmy Fenning is true as a leader gets, and he really helped me understand what I needed to do with a race car to make it go fast. For our team, our sponsors, Sharpie and Irwin, and all of our associates, it's wonderful.
Tell us what happened when that wheel broke, how it felt, and what went through your mind then.
It was an odd problem, and it was something that hadn't come up all year, and we feel like we dodged a huge, huge, devastating proposition that would have taken us out of this championship, and we pulled through.
You told us early in the day that you just had to go out and race your race. That took it away. You had to race extremely hard. Tell us about working back up to the top five.
Just looking out for the 24 and 48, and we stayed on the same sequence. That's what it took.
Has it started to sink in?
I'm almost nauseous right now because it was sinking in before, but I didn't want to. Unbelievable.
The 2004 NASCAR Nextel Cup Series champion is Kurt Busch.
As the confetti fell to the ground, Mike Helton, the man who helped implement the chase, watched Kurt Busch's championship celebration. Helton shared his thoughts on Busch capturing the championship.
It speaks loud to Roush and Kurt. They beat a really strong field of cars to win that championship. Had a little bit of luck, had bad luck along the way before getting there, but it all turned out good for him in the end, but he earned it. Both of Jack Roush and Kurt Busch, they earned it. And it was good to see him have some success, but he's a handful, and had been a handful, and continued to be a handful. But he was nobody ever questioned his driving ability. He could drive a car. And that day worked out for him, and I'm glad for him.
Mike admitted that he had to be convinced about the chase format. And until he realized that it was the right move for the sport moving forward, he was not on board. So after the first season of the chase, how did he feel about it then?
That it made sense. Wasn't perfect. It'll take some time. It'll take some time for even an old fan like me to get his head completely wrapped around it. But for the future of the sport, it was the right thing to do.
Finally, the 2004 Nextel Cup Series season had come to an end. NASCAR had introduced a new playoff format with the chase for a championship, healed from the passing of Dale Earnhardt, and welcomed several drivers who would make a lasting impact on the sport for decades to follow. Mike Helton believes that when we look back on the history of NASCAR, 2004 will be a milestone season that ushered in a new era.
Well, and I think when 100 years anniversary of NASCAR, and you look at the milestones, and you go back to 48, and you go back to the 70s, you go back to 80s, I think what we're going to recognize, obviously, is 2001 being a critical year, not just for us at NASCAR in February, but the whole country by the time we got into the end of the season. So that 2001 stands out pretty quickly in a modern era, so to speak, as opposed to when R.J. Reynolds showed up in 76, or when the advent of cable TV started delivering NASCAR in homes, millions of homes every weekend, live, start to finish. Those will be milestones that get recognized, but I think those will be recognized by the older generations of NASCAR fans. But I think we're 23, 24 years from that turn of the century, and everybody was wondering what was going to happen at midnight between 99 and 2000. And then you look at our 2000 season, our 2001 season, and then the country's year of 2001. 2002, 2003, there were a lot of conversations going on about, is it time to modernize the sport? And there was a lot of conversation going out, knowing that this cycle of ticket sellers or superstars, drivers, personalities, we were getting ready to go through another one. Dale Jarrett, Rusty Wallace, Terry Labonte, Bobby Labonte, they were not far, maybe a half a decade down the road. But you had these new names coming in. And I think we saw that personality transition behind the wheel of the cars in 2004. There's so much going on behind the scenes in 2004 but the headlines that made the sport continue, I think will be 25 years from now when we're celebrating the 100th, somebody will look at a yardstick of our history, and that'll 2004 is going to be on there.
All of us here at the Motor Racing Network would like to thank each and every one of you for joining us on this 10-episode journey. The 2004 season will forever be the dawn of a new era in NASCAR and one to remember. I'm Mike Bagley. For all of us here at the Motor Racing Network, thank you for joining us on NASCAR Live presents 2004 Chasing History.
Outdoor care to home and auto repair. Do it with Craftsman. Find the tools, equipment, and storage you need at your local Lowe's, Ace Hardware, or Craftsman.com.